Well, God bless you. Let's take our Bibles and go to the 138th Psalm. In the manifestations, God repeatedly encouraged us to go to His Word, to speak His Word, to believe His Word. Really, we'll see this morning, our very lives are centered and ordered by God's Word. It's God's Word that gives us life and gives us direction. And I thought that we would take some time this morning to just look at some of the things and just scratch the surface of some of the things of how magnificent God's Word is. In Psalm 138, in verse 2, it says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy, what?
Truth.
Truth. You know, a great reason to praise God is because of His truth. I don't think any of us like to be lied to. I don't think any of us like to get false information that doesn't work or that deceives. But God's Word is truth, and it's a great reason to praise Him. And that says, for Thou, friend of God has magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. God has magnified His Word above basically everything else He's done. When it says Thy name, it's referring to His accomplishments, who He is, what He's done. God has magnified His Word above everything else. Now, if God has magnified His Word, then guess what we should do? Magnify His Word. And that's really a lot of what our Bible study is about. It should be what our teaching is about, is to magnify God's Word. And stop and think about, you know, what happens when something is magnified. If something's magnifying, you have a magnifying glass, it gets bigger, and you see it more clearly. Yeah, hey, look at Jack's got a magnifying glass. Case in point. But that's exactly what we should do with God's Word is, you know, when you look at, like, say, people and what people do, the closer you look, oftentimes the more flawed it becomes. You know, it's true of a lot of the stuff that man makes. If you really put a microscope on things, you start seeing flaws and seeing little imperfections. The more that you magnify God's Word, the more that you see its great, incredible beauty, its accuracy, its integrity. You see how flawless it is. You know, some of us have been looking at God's Word for, you know, many, many years now, and I just stand in awe of its accuracy and its integrity, because the closer you look at God's Word, the more you see how it fits together. You see how minutely and scientifically accurate God's Word is. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So we're here today to magnify God's Word. God has magnified His Word above all its name. As somebody once said that from that verse, that the greatest of God's work is His Word. Of all the things that God has done, at the top, the greatest is His Word. And we'll see that from the Bible this morning. In Proverbs chapter 3, it's an instruction to young people. This is the one book of the Bible that has an emphasis on instructing youth as far as the way to go. And you can see that right at the beginning of chapter 3. It says, my son, forget not my law, you know, which is another name for God's Word. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my, what? Commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know, you talk about benefit. Wouldn't that be at the top of the list for most people of things that you want? Yeah, look at it. It says length of days, long life, peace. I mean, you know, instead of confusion, instead of stress, instead of all the stuff that, you know, people seem to be befuddled by in our day and time, God's word brings peace. It brings so many things. It brings the length of days and long life. And then look at what it says in verse 13. It says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets what?
Understanding.
From God's word, you get wisdom. Wisdom is like knowing what to do. You know, it's knowledge applied so that you know what's the right thing to do. Do you ever sit around and wonder, what in the heck should I do? You know, well, that's someone who needs wisdom. Well, God's word gives wisdom, and it also gives understanding. Understanding, the Greek word for understanding, means like when rivers flow together. You know, when you start to understand something, it's like you might have learned something over here and learned something over here, and then, but then all of a sudden you see how it all works together, and then you really start to understand. It's like rivers flowing together. You know, this is what we so need, is wisdom and understanding. You get it from God's word, and the result, verse 13 says, is that you'll be happy. Now, isn't that what everybody's looking for? It's happiness. You know, we saw peace before. We saw length of days, long life. Now, wisdom, understanding, and happiness. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. I think the last time I checked, gold is trading at $4,300 an ounce. Now, I mean, it's like doubled in value in the last couple of years or something like that. I mean, you know, most people in our culture, in the United States of America, are very materialistic. Would you agree with me?
Yes. Yeah.
That our culture is very materialistic. Most people think of the dollar as being almighty, you know, or like, I really just need more money. Kind of long story. Well, you know, if the Bible is true, and if it's not, what are we doing here? But if the Bible is true, what does this verse say again? It says, she is more precious than, or the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold, than wealth, than money. It says she is more precious than what?
Rubies.
You know, I looked for it this morning. I couldn't find it. I have a, I don't know, some of you will understand this. I have an accumulation of all these materials that I've learned from through the years, some of which I think are just going to wind up in a, you know, in the landfill someday, because I don't know any, if anybody else will appreciate it quite like I do. But one of the things I have somewhere, I couldn't find it this morning, was I have a National Geographic magazine from many years ago, and it was all about rubies and sapphires. And the thing that it said is that of all the gemstones, the most valuable is, guess what?
They're rubies.
Of all of them, more than diamonds, more than sapphire, more than all the others, most valuable is rubies. So what is it saying? It says, see, the wisdom, the understanding that comes from God's word. God's word is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Have you ever thought of your life in terms of priorities?
Sure.
It's not a bad way to think. You know, like what's important. I would say again, you know, people, when I was a child, what was my parents tried to, you know, impart to me, maybe inflict on me. The most important thing was to go get a college education. That's what I was taught. You know, that was kind of the generational thing. Go get a college education. That was the most important thing. With the end that you could go get a good job and make money. Right?
Yeah.
Anybody else like that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of the thing. If this is true, then there's a whole lot of other things that people put as most significant priority as just being not worth it. It's not to be compared, as it says, not to be compared to her, not to be compared to the value of God's word. It says she's more precious than rubies, all the things that thou canst desire, not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of what?
Pleasantness,
and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that does what?
Retains
her. No, this puts the priority on first getting the Word of God. You know, getting the Word of God. Taking the time, spending the time, get the Word of God. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, one of the things that at least those of us here have done, anybody who's going to be listening to this on the internet later, have done, is you've taken the time to come hear the Word of God, right? I think as a teacher, one of the jobs that God has me to do is hopefully inspire the people that hear the teaching to then go work it for themselves, to go read it for themselves, to go make it their own. Because it does talk at the end of this verse about happy is everyone that retains her. So it's not only just getting the Word of God, but it's also retaining the Word, right? Receive, retain, and then, of course, releasing the Word. And then verse 19, it says, the Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the what?
The heavens.
You know, God magnified the Word above all its name. Well, this alludes to that it's by the Word of God that he founded the earth and established the what? Heavens. So it's, you know, when you think of the Word of God, I mean, you might think of it like, okay, it's instructions here for us of what to believe and what, you know, what's written in the Bible. But the Word of God is so big, it's so magnificent, it's God so magnificent, it's what God did, what God employed to make the heavens and the earth. Now that is, you ever just stop and think about God having made all of this? You ever really consider that? Look at John chapter 1. I've been doing more and more of that. I think one of the last times I was here, I mentioned to you of, you know, how do you know that the Bible's true? And a few of you guys took me up on that, and Jack in particular sent me some wonderful work that he has done and continues to do. But one of the ways that you know, one of the ways that you can see it is just by how God has ordered the universe.
Right.
I mean, you know, how there is a God in heaven that made all this. This stuff didn't just happen. And anybody that thinks that this just was sort of random coincidence that all of, you know, the order of the universe happened is just, I don't know how anybody could ever arrive at that opinion. I mean, it's just totally ignorant. But think of that. You know, God ordered the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? He did it by his word. John chapter 1, It says, in the beginning, this verse 1, was what?
The Word.
So, in the beginning was the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, you know, you cannot separate God from His Word. You know, the Word was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And then it says, the same, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So God made everything in the beginning, and He did it by His Word. His Word was with God. You know, we think in the, you know, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Well, how did He do it? By the Word of God. Then the earth became ruined and empty, or without form and void, or ruined and empty. But originally, everything that was made, God did. It was perfect. Did it by His Word. Then it got ruined and empty. And then what we know, the Bible describes as the second heaven and second earth, God put together, He took all that ruined and empty stuff and ordered it. And how did He do that? He did it by His Word. Because it said, and God said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. You know, God said, and there was. God said, and it was so. You know, when God says something, it is so. That's the integrity of the Word. It's not false. It's not dated. It's not partially true. When God says it, it's so. And when God's Word is integral to everything that He has ordered, that everything He has made. God's Word is as integral to it as God is, because God is His Word, and His Word, and the Word is the means by which He did it. Look at the 33rd Psalm. You know, there's some things in life that you can overdo. In fact, in my life, I've had too many things that I've overdone at times. You know, it can be fun, you know, when it's a younger person, it's fun to go out and, you know, maybe have a couple beers and, you know, mess around and stuff and make jokes and have fun and go dancing or do the stuff you do when you go out socially. But you can overdo it. And, you know, when you overdo it, it's, you know, it's interesting. There's a word I found. It's in the Gospels. I was reading in the Gospels the other day, and there's a word that talks. It's Old English. It's the word surfeiting. I didn't know what the word surfeiting meant, but the word surfeiting basically is the word that is the feeling you have if you've gone out the night before and drank too much. Surfeiting, you know, it's like. But then I thought further in the Latin of this word surfeiting. You know what it is? It's the word crapola. The word crapola. If you overdo things, it's crapola. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's the Latin.
Yeah, maybe it's the Latin. Yeah, I think it's the Latin. Yeah, hey, crapola. But you know, it's something that you can't overdo. It's God's Word.
Right? Yeah.
You can't overdo it. You can't go too far into it. You can't get too much of it. You know, it's never going to disappoint you. We've just seen, very short period of time here, so many of the great benefits that come from God's Word, wisdom and understanding. long life, you know, good health, so many things. Look at Psalm 33. Yeah, it says in verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is what?
Right.
And all his work are done in truth." Hey, you start putting this together with what we saw before. You know, all his work are done by his word. And his word is truth. Here it says all his works are done in truth. And the word of the Lord is right. Again, it's something that we all want to be. We want to be right. We want to do what's right. And then it says, he loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his what?
Mouth.
So once again, it's the word of God that heavens were made by, and all the host of them. This would include, like, you know, the angels, all the life forms, were by the breath of his mouth. Isn't it interesting that one of the verses that we've come to understand of how we got the Bible is all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you know what? Those words, those five words, given by inspiration of God, is all one Greek word, theopneustos, God breathed. See, God breathes. Now, does God literally have breath life?
No.
Here it says, by the breath of his mouth. Does God have a mouth?
No.
No, this is a figure of speech. But it's to put the emphasis on what God has done, to really draw our attention to it. All scripture, God breathed. Well, you know, this expression, God breathed, is first used in the Bible. Keep your finger here. Look at Genesis chapter 2. It's first used towards the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. In verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground," referring to how God made Adam's body originally of the dust of the ground, "and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living" what? "Soul." You know, this is God breathing. It's again, you know, it's that figure, God breathing. But God breathed into his nostrils, Adam's nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a what? Living soul. So when it says all scripture, God breathes, well, if God breathes into something, it becomes living. It becomes alive. You know, what did God breathe into his word? His very life. See, that's why when you get God's word, it breathes life. It brings you life. It brings strength to your body. It brings life to your mind, peace of mind. You know, it also reveals to you spiritual truths and spiritual realities. It's also the guidebook for the spirit that God has given to Christians, so that we can understand that spiritual life that we have with God. See, God's very life is breathed into his word. Now back to Proverbs 33. It says again in verse 6, by the word of the Lord will they... Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And really, when you just stop to consider what God has done, is there any other response that we should have than just being in awe of him? But being in awe of God is also very closely, just linguistically related to having reverence for God. That, you know, having reverence for something is standing in awe of something. You know, having reverence for God, standing in awe of what he's done, standing in awe of his creation, and standing in awe of his word. And then in verse 9 it says, for he spake, and it was what? Done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You know, when you get God's word, you're getting so many things. You're getting life. You're getting wisdom and understanding. You're also just getting his heart on things. You know, like, you ever think of, like, you sit down maybe with a person you're close to and you have a heart-to-heart talk? You know, to really get just the heart, the emotion, the love, the all that's involved with, you know, the truth of something. Well, that's what you get from God's word. You know, from God's word starts coming that great compassion of Christ and the great kindness and all the wonderful things that God is imparted to us because we're getting his heart from his word. Look at Job chapter 23, please. Right before the book of Psalms is the book of Job. This is the book that I oftentimes refer the unemployed people to. They need to get a job. Well, Job chapter 23. It says in verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. Now, you know, the word of God is also so valuable when you're having difficulty, when you're having tough times. And I can't think of anybody I've ever heard of that had tougher times than Job. I mean, you know, certainly more than him would have been the Lord Jesus Christ, but... to talk about incredible challenges and trials and tribulations, it's Job. I mean, but in the midst of that, it says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary what? Food. You know, that God's word to Job was more significant, more important than necessary food. Not just, you know, food that you don't need, but this is talking about food that you do need, necessary food. You know, maybe during Thanksgiving we ate some food that we don't need. You know, wonderful food, great food, but indulging. This is talking about, you know, just day by day, necessary food. Everybody needs food. That's one of the things I tell the people that in our food business is, you know, everybody needs to eat. And they do, and we're in a good business because of that. But Job said, look, the word of God to me is more important than even eating physical food. It kind of puts it in a wonderful perspective when you think about it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to see a familiar verse of scripture, not necessarily because it's familiar to us from Deuteronomy 8, but it's familiar to us in another place. Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says in verse 1, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that," here's the purpose of observing God's word, of observing the commandments that God has given us, "that," the purpose, "is that ye may," what?
Live.
See, God put his very life into the word. When you get the word and observe to do it, it will bring you life, you know, that you may live. And then it says, "and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." You know, it's so wonderful. God's word not only is living, but it's powerful. And here it talks about that ye may live and multiply. You know, God's word makes that possible. There's another place where God's word is referred to figuratively as being a seed. You know, like a seed sown. And when you think of a seed being sown, well, it has to be watered. You know, first planted, then watered, then, you know, fertilized, nurtured, you know, maybe cultivated around it so the weeds don't get it. But as it grows up, that seed multiplies. You know, if you plant a kernel of corn, you'll get a corn plant with many ears on it, and each one of those ears has, you know, scores of other seeds. So from one seed comes potentially thousands. We have a tree that's in front of our house right now because when it rains, all of the seeds from that tree come down. And it's, you know, it's hard just to keep them, you know, cleaned up. Yeah, it just makes a mess all over them because there's so many of them. Because that's God's word. God's word has life in it. And when it's believed, when it's observed, and it's carried out, it multiplies. And then it says, "and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not." You know, they, every day, except the Sabbath, every day they would come out during these 40 years of the wilderness, and God would put this manna on the ground that they could be nourished by, that they could eat. Manna, in other places, is translated as bread. But they said it, the taste of it, what was like wafers and honey, and it was just delicious. It just, but, you know, it's interesting because it's tied to the Lord's Prayer when it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." In other words, relying on God for sufficiency, how often? Daily. You know, so God put this manna daily. See his sufficiency, how often? Daily. You know, God's word is not just meant to be a once a week thing, or it's not just meant to be a, you know, 15, 20 minutes in the morning thing, but it's something that we're to live by, you know, daily, constantly. It says, you know, and it says, "this manna which thou knowest not." I think the word manna in Hebrew means, what is it?
Yeah.
Did you ever know that? Yeah. That's what manna means. What is it? They didn't know. What is it? No, thou knowest not. That says, "neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man what?
Live.
Now, we might not be familiar with this verse when
here
from Deuteronomy, but I think all of us are familiar with it because it was spoken by the Lord in the Gospels when he was tempted by the devil. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, does that mean that if somebody doesn't have the Word of God, that they immediately are just going to die?
No.
Well, think about it. What does it mean? That if man's going to really live, if man's going to live the way God desires us to live, if man's going to live the life that God has intended for us, he needs the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that brings that life to us. To conclude, let's look at 3 John. You know, that many years ago, we did a camp, a whole week, up in the Sierras. And the theme of that camp was simply, the Word of God is. That was the theme. The Word of God is. And it is, you know, yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the Word of God is now. The Word of God is, it is, it's a reality. But then we also just looked at some of the things that it is. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is accurate. The Word of God is precise. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. You know, the Word of God is awesome. Just so many things that we say. The Word of God is necessary. You know, it's essential. We just saw that. Man does not live by bread alone. You know, now you need a little bread to live. That's necessary. But like Job, he considered God's Word to be more vital, more necessary, essential than even the food that he was eating. You know, how blessed would you be if you found the most valuable ruby that there was in the earth? You know, how excited would you be if you found something that was worth, you know, maybe $1 billion or whatever it be? You know, how excited would be? But we read, you know, in Proverbs, that the wisdom, the understanding that comes from the Word of God is more precious than rubies, better than silver, better than fine gold. Now, I read that. I take that as a challenge. Do I really believe that? I mean, you know, I tell you one thing. If somebody gave you $10 million today, you would go and be very excited about it.
For sure.
You would tell other people about it.
Maybe.
It might be a turning point in your life. Yeah, maybe worth it. No, but you think about it. Well, how about, you know, hey, I know something that's more valuable than that. You know, I have something that's more valuable than that. And then, you know, we never talk about it, never tell anybody about it. Well, you know, how valuable is God's Word? How awesome is God's Word? In 3 John, again, a very simple, basic, wonderful verse of Scripture. In 3 John chapter 2, it says, Beloved, verse 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest what?
Prosper
and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You know, it's funny because this verse is a very oft-quoted verse. It's a very commonly understood verse as a God's promise of health and prosperity, which is great. I mean, just right along the lines of what we've read in other places. One of the resultant realities of believing God's Word is health and prosperity. But here, let's remember what the whole verse says, because it says, even as thy what? soul prospers. Well, originally, when God made, formed, and created Adam, his soul was breathed by God life. It was breath life that came into Adam. And it's that life, the spiritual life of God, that he breathed into his word. See, nowadays, for our soul to prosper, you know what is an absolute necessity? It's God's word. Your soul will not prosper without God's word. That's the necessary soul food, if you will, for a person's life to prosper. That's why it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It takes the word of God to have a prosperous soul, a prosperous life, to really live the way God intends us to live. So the more that you get God's word, the more that that word dwells in you richly, the more your life is going to be benefited. You're going to be happier. You're going to be healthier. You're going to be more prosperous. You're going to be wiser. You're going to have more understanding. All the great things that we've seen, and there's many more that God's word describes to us. But God's very life he put into his word, and he has sent his word to all of us so that we can live by it and that we can share it. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word that once again we have the privilege of tasting and seeing how good you are and how awesome and powerful that word is. Father, may we continue to just go to it and dig deeper and just live it and be prospered by it. Father, I pray for the days and weeks ahead that there'll be a great time filled with your abundance, filled with open doors to speak your word. And Father, that as we do, that we will continue to grow and manifest Christ unto this dark and dying world. Father, thank you for this time of fellowship together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.